It's time to take this game into overtime.
The official podcast
of the Average Joe's Sports Show
on 90.9 The Light Sports
for our generation.
Welcome to another week of NBA. This is From the Perimeter, the official first episode of the podcast. Thomas Pensiero here, alongside me, Kyle Vaught. Kyle, it is November 1st today. Is Christmas, is that allowed now? Are we allowed to celebrate Christmas starting now?
No.
Wait till after Thanksgiving.
Yes, absolutely.
Traditionalist.
Turkey Day.
All right, I like that.
It's the one day of the year where gluttony is no longer a sin. So, I'm excited.
That. All right, so let's dive right into it. NBA Week 1, we have the top five stories going on. But first, a quick fact for you. 20 years ago, to the date, Allen Iverson debuted in the NBA. What a legend.
What a legend.
He was introduced into the NBA Hall of Fame this year. 20 years ago, he debuted. What a career he had. Big ups to AI. Now let's get into real NBA.
As if he wasn't real NBA.
Let's talk current NBA.
Okay, current NBA.
NBA going on. The Warriors, Kyle. Week one, they had three games.
Yes, they did.
But we're not going to talk about those last two that they had. We're going to talk about that first game.
But the last two matter as well.
We're going to start with that first game.
Okay.
The Warriors in Oracle, game one of the NBA season, lose by 29 to the Spurs. What does this mean? What's wrong with the Warriors? We saw them win the next two games, but 29 loss, a point loss at home to the Spurs. That's pretty big. You don't usually see that.
You assume that it's a horrible thing that they lost. I assume that it's actually a really good thing that they lost to the Spurs at home. Because remember, there's a lot going against each other, especially leading down the stretch last year with the Spurs home record and the Warriors home record, and they wanted to see who would get to that point of the possibilities of running the table at home, and they tended to be home wreckers of both of them. And in this situation, I think the Spurs came out with Greg Popovich leadership. They just wanted to make a statement of saying, you're not even going to be involved in that conversation of home wins and home undefeated wins. I think they came out so much more prepared. And I think the Warriors have a lot to grow from as they're learning this new roster and this new style.
Obviously, chemistry doesn't come right away.
Not yet. No, not
obviously,
at all.
We saw it with the Heat when the first year with LeBron, Wade,
and
Bosh.
I think it took them like 15 to 20 games before even got like smooth.
Right. They started, 10-9? Something like that. And it was rough. That might happen again here. I mean, they're 2-1. They beat, I believe, the Pelicans and the Suns. So not great teams.
Both of those are still pretty high caliber teams.
They're average teams.
I think they're going to end up, both of those teams are going to be pretty smooth.
I mean, I don't want to overreact here.
No. Why would you overreact?
Because a lot of people, you look in the media after that loss, everyone's jumping off the bandwagon, the Warriors.
You talk about the media as if that's not us as well.
A lot of guys in the media. You hear a lot of guys because in the sports media, a lot of the radio personalities kind of lean on those bold predictions or bold assessments because what happens if they're wrong? Nothing. They just want ratings. They want to be bold. So we saw a lot of people jump.
In our situation, why would that make us any different if we're going to have predictions or bold predictions?
Oh, I'm not saying it's different. I'm just saying you saw a lot of people jump off the bandwagon of the Warriors after game one. I don't want to do that. I'm slowing down. It's one game. I just think it was very unusual. 29-point loss home. They don't lose at Oracle.
They don't lose.
Very
and I
often.
Think I think that's why I'm completely at peace with this loss. It was an at home. It was a punch in the face. And I think every single player on that team felt it. And it also kind of lowers those expectations from the home fans. I think that gives them a accurate picture of who they are. A struggling team that's really talented, but they need to work together. And they're learning that. And I think that's exactly what they needed, because as they grow now, all of a sudden, the home crowd is going to see them grow. and almost grow a part of them as well. Like new characters in a TV show that come along, they're going to all of a sudden start seeing those developmental things that are going on. And I think they're going to embrace Steve Kerr and the Warriors all over again. And by playoff time, it's going to be another great atmosphere.
Right. I'm not too worried about this team. Real quickly, I want to harp on the Draymond Green point here. We saw him get teed up in game one.
Yay.
And then after the game, he said, I'm not changing my ways. I'm playing the way I want to play. Do you think that can become a problem if teams start to kind of bug him and know he gets emotional in game? We can tee him up easily. When technicals start to pack up, when they start to accumulate, you can get suspended and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Do you think he needs to be more aware and try to change his game, try to change his emotions a little more, because you can't get teed up every other game?
No. I don't think he needs to change a thing about him. And there's a reason behind what they are, because he is now pretty much, he plays that center position as a small center. And he has to play a little bit stronger than he probably ever has, even though last season he did play so strong, especially in that last game where they lost against the Cavs in the finals. But ultimately, I don't think you want to change anything, because he brings so much passion to the team. And yes, you're going to have technicals, you're going to have fines, you're going to have, you know, even opportunities for him to be suspended. But at the same time, I would rather have him suspended 1, 2, 3 games throughout the season where he's, you know, I don't want to see him make blatant fouls. I don't want to see him hurt people. I don't want to see him do those. But if he's getting a technical from screaming or yelling or trying to get his team hyped, I don't even care.
Yeah, but like, other teams know that he can act like that,
absolutely,
and they can get him off his game.
But you know
and
what
this
that
is all
does?
I have to say to Draymond Green. Oh, my God. Come on, man. You got to keep it under control. But we're going to move on.
All right, we'll move on.
We're going to go next.
I'm not
Tom
even worried.
Thibodeau, another team in the West.
Tibbs.
Tom Thibodeau, the new coach of the
Timberwolves.
Timberwolves.
He
said that they started 0-2. He said this team needed to toughen up. They're not tough enough mentally, physically. They don't play tough enough. We know Tibbs is a tough coach. We know he loves to work his players hard. He loves to make them play defense and go all out. Do you think he's right for calling out his teams only 2 games into the season?
Well, it's Tibbs Timberwolves right now, and he's going to...
And it's a young team.
He's going to do a great job with it. What I'm worried about is how he reacts so quickly. Now, on the one hand, I'm so excited that he's calling him out at 2 games. Like, that is the expectation. We are going to battle in every game, and the fact that
and
we've lost 2
in the last
in
the
in the fact that we've lost 2 games in a row and they weren't pretty means I'm calling you out and you're going to play up to the standard of Tibbs. Now, on the other hand, you have to look at these really exciting players like Zach LaVine, you got Tyus Jones, and you've got really good players, Karl Anthony Towns, who's probably, I think he was rated as the number one person to build their team around in situations, and that was even ahead of Steph Curry or
LeBron
James. And he's the guy that they need to really work with and say, okay, you're the one.
Is it his team or is it Wiggins' team?
I think in this situation, Wiggins needs to... I'm scared because I'm afraid that Wiggins and KAT are going to turn into a Russell Westbrook Durant situation where the two of them, they tend to coexist, but it's very clear that Durant was possibly holding Westbrook back in these situations as what we've seen so far. But
then
we'll
you
get
can also
that.
See it as a duo like Shaq and Kobe.
No.
Where they might not get along or they might not mesh together, but
no.
They'll win.
No, but see, that's the thing is
but
I,
these
I
these are different personalities.
Yeah, I don't want
different
to
different personalities.
I don't
but to get back on Tibbs,
push on them. And, but yeah,
he's right to call this team out.
Absolutely.
I like that.
And it's
you
so,
need to change the culture.
It's so
quick,
early in the season
when they're young players. You want to change the culture quick, and it's okay to call them out and try to wake them up a little.
Absolutely,
this is a team that's used to losing.
It sets the tone for the season, though. Too, if Tibbs has a strong feel on this, he's going to keep this tone throughout the season, and they're going to know what's up.
Number 3 on the top 5 stories in the NBA for week 1. We got the Nuggets retiring Dikembe Mutombo.
You're not Mutombo.
Mutombo's the finger wag. Number 55. They're retiring his number. They actually did on Saturday. And remember, Atlanta retired his number last year.
Yep.
Now he's got two teams retiring his number. Is he deserving? I mean, we saw him get in the Hall of Fame.
Easily. Yeah, I mean, he really kind of made that whole situation so much better, especially in Atlanta, and we see them move forward on these different situations, and we see how they look back, and so much of the Atlanta plays such an aggressive field of play, and when they look back on those situations and how the Hawks have progressed, you see it kind of begin with Mutombo and how he created this whole new spotlight in that town. And now you see them playing at such a higher caliber, not saying that it was Mutombo, but that spirit of the sport lives on through each and every one of these players. And they want to play well because they know, just like somebody going to the Lakers, you know, they know Magic played there. You know, they know that Kobe played there. They have these amazing stars. And to have a star like Mutombo, you know, be able to have his jersey retired there, and even now, you know, with the Nuggets, that's an exciting thing for those organizations because that's
sure.
drawing those people from
college. I mean,
college.
He's a big star even
Absolutely.
Now. You see him in all these commercials. This guy is still relevant. He's got that trademark finger wag. It's well-deserving. So we'll move on. Only positive things to say about Mutombo. Number four, the Thunder. We got the deadline, I believe, was yesterday to extend rookie contracts from a few years ago.
Yeah,
the Thunder locked up Oladipo and Steven Adams on the same day for $184 million combined. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, but it's worth it.
100%.
Do you think both of them were worth it, Oladipo and Steven Adams? And what do you expect from both those players moving forward? Because they're both very young, and we haven't seen the top potential from both of them.
We haven't seen the top potential, but we have seen something in Steven Adams that is super valuable.
In the playoffs, especially.
And that's playoff potential. Because of his performance.
He's only 22, which is insane.
He's an extremely big guy.
He looks like a 40-year-old pirate. I mean, he looks like a pirate ship. Like, he came off a pirate
but
ship.
I love hearing him talk. Like, it just... I want to hear him talk in his Australian accent, mate. It's so great to hear him. But he does such a good job.
You should do
the
rest of the show like that. I like that.
I'm pretty sure I could if I tried, but I'm not going to do that because I'm not a chump or a bloke. So, but for real, I mean, Steven Adams, he's played at a high caliber already, and that was a great move because that gives Billy Donovan somebody to keep Russell Westbrook kind of content at, because we know that Steven Adams is not going to be fighting for the ball from Russell Westbrook and going to be angry or frustrated about taking shots away, because we've seen Russell Westbrook have an amazing performance just in the beginning of this season, and he's already been, you know, 11.7 assists per game average, so you know he's given Steven Adams, a big man, it, almost in the same way that we saw CP3 play with DeAndre Jordan. It's just constant dishing to the middle. And with somebody that big, huge. Oladipo keeps that perimeter really locked down because then you can move it around and get Westbrook into the paint, which is where he plays his best. So
I agree. I mean, we haven't seen the most from Oladipo. And I think he needs to start making the step forward. Hopefully, alongside Westbrook. Now they have that backcourt locked up for three more years together with Westbrook and Oladipo.
It's going to be good.
And those guys are both freaks. Those guys are both freaks. We already know who Westbrook is. Oladipo's an underrated freak. We really haven't been able to see his top potential. So I'm hoping playing alongside Westbrook will kind of reach his potential a little more. But you got to keep those guys. You got to lock them up. Well-deserving $184 million right there. Next topic, to round out the top five here, Anthony Davis.
AD.
What a week he had. Stat-wise, at least.
Oh, okay.
Stat-wise.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, well, they lost the first three games.
Yeah, what about it?
They lost. So he didn't have a
have
great team.
Have you paid attention to the Pelicans at all the last few seasons?
So he put up 50 in the first game, 45 in the second game, 18 in the third game. All losses. This Pelican team has yet to make the next step. I mean, they've been putrid the last 4 or 5 years with Anthony Davis. But is he overrated?
I'm pretty sure they made it to the playoffs 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Okay. And last year?
In an eight seed, yes.
Last year they had a lot of struggles.
When you're supposed to be one of the best players in the NBA, you need to make it more than just once as an eight seed. even if you're in the West.
Okay, but has, just out of curiosity in the situation of this, has Kobe made it to the playoffs every season?
No. Not in his later years,
I mean, no, not in his later years, and in some of his early years,
but
he
Anthony
had struggles.
Davis is supposed to be in his prime now.
Absolutely, he is in his prime. But here's what I'm not worried about. It's three games in. And just like the Warriors.
But he can't play any better than he did in those first three games, and they're still losing.
Says
more than 50 points in the first game?
I seriously believe that by the end of the year, he's going to drop 59 again. And he did it last season.
I think
he's a bit overrated. No, I do not think he's overrated, because he is 6'11". And he is phenomenal in the way that he can see the court.
Something's just wrong. It's just the eye test. Something is wrong. They haven't been able to win in 4 years.
But see,
you have to start putting some of the blame on Anthony Davis if you want to put him in the conversation.
Well, why would you
of
put
LeBron?
But because, if he is who you say he is, a phenomenal
last
player,
year,
would you put it on him or would you put it on the coach and the other players? Because
there's
got
to be a point to some point
looks
in his
like
career
a
where it's
Tom Brady
on him.
Type person who's trying to carry this team to victories.
Well, it's a lot easier in the NBA to carry a team.
And he's doing the best he can,
but
if he's putting up this amount of numbers.
I'm not saying it's his fault, but there comes a point in a guy's career where you're supposed to be the best, where you need to start taking control of your team.
Again,
he was a guy that GMs chose last year to win the unanimous MVP and to start the number one guy to build a team with. Why would you pick him over LeBron when LeBron can continuously get to the playoffs? That's what I'm saying. He's a great player, but he is not a top five player like everyone thought he was going to be.
I would disagree 100% with that, just based on what he does. And you have to, just like you said at the beginning when we were looking at other teams, you have to look at who they've played. They played the Spurs, and they kept the Spurs under 100 points. I don't think the Warriors even did that. So
Warriors gave up 129.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So there is a good defensive stand from the Pelicans. They also played the Warriors, which the Warriors decided to play lights out that game. And you have different situations like that that the Pelicans are going to have to face. Now, they need to learn how to do that. But I do not think that you have to crucify AD yet because of his performance, knowing that he's done a phenomenal job so far.
Well, real quick, this is a question I've been seeing coming up in the last few days, couple weeks: Anthony Davis or Karl Anthony Towns? If you had to pick one guy to carry your front court for the next 10, 15 years, who are you picking?
Unibrow.
You're taking the unibrow, even with the... See, I see it as Anthony Towns has just the same amount of talent, can do the same amount of things, but he doesn't have the injury-prone history like Anthony Davis does. Anthony Davis has been getting injured every single year his last 3-4 years in the NBA. You have to account to that at some point when you're trying to build a career off of something. I'll pick Karl Anthony Towns. We'll agree
that's
to disagree.
Okay. No,
they're
I mean, you asked
there.
Me
yeah.
my opinion.
Yeah,
I gave you my
there.
Opinion. I'm not going to, you know, say that your opinion's wrong, because I think Karl Anthony Towns is a phenomenal player as well. So,
all right, let's move on. We're going to move on to our updated power rankings of week one. So you heard our power rankings preseason last week. Let's see how much they changed, if they changed at all.
They
may not have. Kyle, let's start with your number five team for your week one power rankings.
All right, week one power rankings. I'm going to go with San Antonio Spurs. They've been blowing people out, winning by a margin of 15.8 points a game. So I can't have anybody else in that based on who they're playing and how they're playing and who their coach is, to be honest.
All right, I got a new team at number five. I snuck the Hawks in. I don't know. I don't think they're going to be season-long top five. Just for week one, performance-wise, I kind of saw it a little different. I'm saying week one, they're a top five team right now. 3-0, they beat the 76ers by 32.
I mean, it's the 76ers.
32. You beat anybody in the NBA by 32? I'll give you some credit there.
Just
you
saying.
Still got talent. You beat the Wizards by 16. That's a good team. They beat, I believe, the Suns last night. I'm not sure. But they still have the talent. Paul Millsap is playing great. Schroeder, who they gave the point guard over to, they just re-signed him. He's playing great. You got the talent. You got the coaching. This is a solid team that just flies under the radar.
Absolutely.
Kind of like the Spurs. They fly under the radar. They just play good team basketball.
See, I actually misunderstood, and I gave you my first pick first. So that's my number one seed.
You
is
guys get
the Spurs.
A little exclusive.
Yeah, so
you get to see Kyle's
so now
one
it's
team.
Like Quentin Tarantinoing it, starting at the beginning and then going to the back and then going back to the beginning.
So how you want to do is you want
to
switch it up?
Yeah, you just keep going 5-4, or
and you're
going
to
go
one
down
to five.
And I'll do 1-5. So
all right.
My number two is going to be Chicago, because they've been taking down people with a margin of 17.7 points a game, and they've played a pretty solid group of people throughout these first few games. I've been really impressed with how they've played, with how they've passed. They took down the Nets handily. They took down the Pacers, a good Pacers team too, with George Paul, and then also a really good Celtics team, and that was who they were playing in the last year in the playoffs, and so that was a big game to start off like that, and they boom. Hit him in the mouth.
Hey, I can't argue that. Dwayne Wade, he looks good. He looks healthy. Number four team, I'm picking the Clippers. LA Clippers, this is my this is my team for the year. I really think it's either do or die for the Clippers. You got Chris Paul and Griffin coming up as free agents. You're not keeping Blake Griffin if they don't make it to the conference finals this year.
I don't think they're keeping
and
Blake
you don't
Griffin
even
anyway.
I wouldn't even consider keeping Doc Rivers if they don't get to the conference finals this year.
You would consider getting rid of Doc Rivers.
Because he was brought to this team to take them to the next step, and he hasn't. They've gotten just as far with Vinny Del Negro. They've done nothing more with Doc Rivers. This is his last year to prove something that they can do it. That's why I have him at 4. They're 3-0, beat the Jazz, Blazers, Suns. They have
those
everything.
Are three really good teams
they
too.
Have, yeah, they have everything: a point guard, a center, defense, shooting with Jamal Crawford. This team is legit. They just got to get it done.
Yep. My number three, since I'm going backwards, is OKC. They've been playing lights out. They've been playing really strong. They did barely beat the 76ers at the beginning, which was really weird, but 76ers actually came out and played well. They only won by 6, and then they played a decent Suns team, and then they also beat a Lakers team that seems to be turning around, as they've been playing a much different play that the Lakers haven't played in years. So I'm going with OKC in just what we see in Westbrook and Adams.
That was your three team, right?
Yep.
All right, my three team going the other way. I got the Warriors. I can't drop them too far. I had them at 2 last week.
Mine aren't even in. So.
Yeah, that's all right. I mean, that bad loss. I mean, why not? It's week one. I can't drop them too far. I got them at 3. But Draymond's down to 10 points per game in these first three games. His technical fouls, they're a problem for me, but they're still a great team. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, who's your two?
Two.
Go ahead.
The Spurs.
Yours?
I got a Spurs.
Oh,
I mean,
so we are
impressed.
Pretty close
yeah,
in this. I can guess your
I'm
one.
I'm impressed by the Spurs. I'm
not even worried about guessing the
29-point win over the Warriors. Kawhi is having a great year. 28 points per game. They're beating people by 16
people
points.
People do realize he was the Finals MVP a couple years ago, right? Like,
yeah,
people
this guy's legit.
Don't
and he's still
sleep
young.
On Leonard. Like, do this, not sleep on him because
it's
he's
his team now.
He's a beast.
It's his team now.
He's
who do you
Westbrook
got
to? Before Westbrook.
Who do you got
to? I already gave you my two at
oh,
Chicago Bulls.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going backwards. Remember, number four.
There we go. You're confusing me, man.
I know. Well, it was my fault. I misunderstood, and then we just kind of flip flop.
All
right. So number four, I have the Cavs, mostly because they're winning at a margin of 12.7, and they've also played decent teams, but not great teams. And I'm not going to put them higher than four, just based on the fact that I haven't seen anything that they didn't do last season that was like, oh, okay, wow, they deserve to be back here. Because mostly they're kind of starting out the same way they did last season. And last season they kind of went through a couple people winning and then a couple people losing, and then there was kind of around Christmas that we were wondering what they're gonna do, and then they came out of course in January and swept everybody and just kept going and going. So
my number one team,
oh my goodness,
the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh my goodness, I told you I didn't even need to worry about it. I
3-0.
Guessed it.
They beat my Knicks.
Oh wow, 3-0.
Beat the Raptors.
That's right.
Kyrie's averaging 25 per game. LeBron's over 10 assists. What else can I say?
Get another for the land.
What else can I say? We are the champions.
What do you need? I would rather see Indians win the World Series than them the Cavs win again. So.
All right, who's your number five team?
Number five, I
wrap
actually
up these power rankings.
I've got
us.
Number five tied with you at with the Hawks. They have a huge margin of victory against everybody they've played at 19.3 points a game. They are playing some of the best team ball that we've seen in the NBA. I'm going to say it. They're playing better team ball than the Cavs. They're playing better team ball than really the only team that I've seen play better, like team-wise. And this is weird for me to say because I see the Lakers playing as a team really well. Whatever Luke Walton's doing,
it's working.
Yeah. He's had
fun basketball.
He's had them playing very much last year Warrior style basketball. And everybody on that roster is saying the same thing. This is so much fun. And when players have fun like that, be careful. Don't sleep on them. Because I'm not going to be surprised when the Lakers keep going.
Let's move to the next segment of the show.
MVP just don't like talk. Me talking about the Lakers.
It's all right. We'll move on.
All right.
We'll glaze over that.
We'll glaze over the MVP talk. It's
watch.
Too early.
Well, MVP watch right. Real quick. 1 to 2 minutes.
All right. I'll give you.
Give me a quick update. You picked Dwayne Wade as your preseason MVP.
Yeah.
You still think he can do it? I mean, it's only been 3 games. But.
Absolutely. His first game, he came out. He shot lights out. Last season, he only shot 7. He only made 7 threes all season long. The other night, he made 4. But my most impressive player of the week is going to go to AD. You know, he's averaging 37.7 points a game.
And 0-3.
And he also has 12.3 rebounds a game, which is huge because that will accumulate.
You know what AD is, though?
I'm about to move on to the three-point shootout without you.
All right, quickly, I picked James Harden last week, right? I picked James Harden. He had a great week.
Yeah, he did.
He had 17 assists in the first game. I mean,
half of the first game.
Moving him to point guard was a pretty good idea for D'Antoni. He's doing great, but you can't glaze over what Westbrook's doing right now. The guy had a triple-double in his last 2 games. The first game, he was only off by an assist. He's averaging 39, 12, and 12, and he's still shooting 45% from the field goal.
I'm not worried about him, though.
I mean, if he keeps this up.
I'm worried about the Rockets as a team because they play really well, but I'm not worried about James Harden and the fact that...
What about Westbrook?
I'm worried about Westbrook because he plays so lights out and angry. Like, seriously, I feel like at some point, the rim, like, stole his lunch money, and he just wants to beat that rim down over and over and over. But... I mean, ultimately, I think James Harden is just a phenomenal player, and I love watching him play, but I'm not worried about him winning the MVP yet. Yet.
Well, the season is still early. Only 1 week.
It's so young.
It feels like it's been forever. So we're going to move in. We're going to wrap up this podcast with the three-point shootout, our final segment of the day. First question for you, Kyle.
Yes.
How many triple-doubles will Westbrook finish by the end of the year? He's got 2 on the year and 3 games.
Okay. So here is where Durant held Russell Westbrook back, because I think last year it would have been very evident that Russell Westbrook would have blown out all of the records on how many triple-doubles in a year. This year, I'm not going to necessarily say exactly how many, but I'm going to say it's going to be plus 20 over the course of the year. I'm going to say plus 20.
The most in a season we've seen is 41 by the Big O. That was back in the 60s. He's not going to do that. That's half the games. We can easily see him get 20 to 30, maybe even average a triple-double for the season.
No. That's ridiculous.
He's doing it right now.
Continue.
All right, next question. Is Porzingis already the best player on the Knicks?
Continue.
Come on. I'm just trying to talk some Knicks.
I get you with the Knicks and I get you with Porzingis. But is he the best player on the Knicks?
Already.
We're 3 games in. Like, I get it. And yes, he's playing as of right now. Yeah, I'd say he's playing better than everybody else on the Knicks. But that's like, what do you want? Like, okay, cool. You're the best player that is kind of getting by in an average team. Like,
whatever. All right, whatever. Last question.
He doesn't even want to.
Just whatever, man.
All right.
Why aren't the Clippers Why aren't the Clippers considered a super team? They have a top three point guard, a top three power forward, and a top three center. Why aren't they considered a super team like the Cavs and the Warriors?
Well, in a situation like this, I'm actually going to blame it on the Cavs and the Warriors. I'm going to blame it on even Spoelstra and the way that they created a super team down in Miami a few years ago. I'm going to blame it on them because this is a super team. It is a super team. But the only thing is they're missing one, maybe two pieces out of the puzzle because they don't have a three-point shooter other than J.J. Redick. And they have one person who can play well from beyond the perimeter. But other than that, I mean, you don't have a lot of three-point style. Now you have such a balanced team, and that makes them a super team, but you're not going to be considered
there. We haven't seen them all healthy together. That's one of the things, haven't seen Blake Griffin and Chris Paul consistently healthy for a full season.
Based on last year, I didn't want to see Blake Griffin and Chris Paul healthy together.
They're both free agents, so this is the time to do it. This is the last year. Doc Rivers, you got to make it happen.
Oh, my goodness.
You have to make it happen. And now, all right, finally, to end the show.
I'm about
done. We can't talk three-point shootouts without talking about the best three-point shooter in the NBA. Ray Allen decided to hang it up
the other day.
Ray Allen, the best three-point shooter in the NBA,
holds the record for
most three-pointers. Hanging it up at 41. What will you remember most by Ray Allen?
Well,
my boy from UConn.
The majority of the people are going to remember Ray Allen's shot that was heard around the world,
basically.
The most
clutch shot. I like to call that the most clutch shot I've ever seen.
I mean, it really is. But I'm going to remember him as somebody who played just sickening. You know, Ron Artest, we forget how much, he played against some of these great people. And I think it was Ron Artest that said that he was one of the most difficult people early on to defend because you had to prepare for everything. So,
hey man,
it's another week.
This is officially our first episode of From the Perimeter. I'm Thomas Pensiero. Thank you for joining me, Kyle Vaught.
We'll be
back here next week, every Tuesday. Look out for the From the Perimeter podcast. Thank you for joining us and enjoy some NBA.
Peace.